Welcome back to the Falcons Audible presented by AT&T. We are back once again after about a week and a half layoff due to the Falcons' short week playing on, as I said, a week and a half ago, Thursday night. But they had some action on Sunday, so guess what? It's time to see myself, Dave Archer, and DJ Shockley one more time. So, fellas, before I get into your guys' mind-blowing thoughts, let's run through a quick rundown of what we're going to talk about today. Of course, we will touch on the Falcons-Broncos game over the weekend. We will talk about the playoffs, and is it becoming a little bit more of a reality?
Playoffs?
Our playoffs. We're just trying to win a game.
Playoffs?
Very intriguing conversation coming up after that. We'll talk about the quarterbacks of the NFC South because so much of the conversation goes towards Tom Brady and Drew Brees, rightfully so. Most people think they're going to be first ballot Hall of Famers once they hang up the shoes. But Matt, where does Matt Ryan fall into that conversation? We'll dive into that a little bit more, and then we'll make sense of, speaking of Drew Brees, what happened in that Saints-Buccaneers game, and then we'll spin things forward and talk a little bit about what the Falcons are going to have to do once they return from the bye week and face those said New Orleans Saints. So with that, fellas, DJ, Arch, let's get right into this. I'll get into the pleasantries of how you guys are doing, but we'll piggyback that with your first thought, DJ. And actually, let's talk a little bit about, there was some breaking news recently in the Falcons organization. Tack McKinley, former first-round pick, the Falcons decided to cut ties with him, and they are moving on. DJ, just wanted to get your initial reaction when you heard this news.
Wasn't surprised after the things that kind of happened. I thought it was kind of inevitable. Sometimes things just don't work out. And, you know, you thought you had a good player when you drafted him, still is a good player, just injuries, lack of performance at times. It just didn't work out for the Falcons, and wish him well going forward. But at the end of the day, this is a ball club and organization that is all about brotherhood and family, and the type of things that happened were displayed. It didn't fall in line with that. So I had no issues with it, wasn't surprised, and wish him well going forward.
Yeah, Arch, there's you know, everybody's got their own personality. And I think everybody found that out from Tack McKinley on the day that he was drafted from the Atlanta Falcons, the type of fiery personality that he is. It's a business. Everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants their contract. But sometimes you could argue about how guys go about handling it. And maybe that was the case with Tack McKinley. Didn't necessarily handle it the way, as DJ mentioned, as the Falcons kind of aligned their morals and values.
Yeah, there's no question that the guy was impactful when he was able to play. And there's the big caveat. You know, you're not helping the team in the tub. He couldn't get back on the field. I think that there were plays that you go back and look at and say, okay, yeah, that was a number one draft pick that made that play. But then there were too many times when he wasn't on the football field. And then to get a little sideways with some of your comments and not blend into what Shock was talking about as far as teammates and concern for the team, those type of things. At some point, it comes time to, you know what, let's just move on, let him move on, let him have a career someplace else. There are ramifications attached to it, you know, and we'll talk about that here later on in some later on podcasts. We start talking about draft picks and those type of things. But I thought it was the right thing to do. You got to move on. Go with the guys that are on the field that are making plays for you.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think that we would agree that somebody will take a chance on him, somebody will sign him, and maybe he'll end up kind of rekindling his career elsewhere, as a lot of players end up doing. You make a great point, though, Dave. One of the things I remembered when I was playing football, I always watched the guys that were in the training room, and then subsequently the guys ended up getting cut. So I learned early in my career that have a good relationship with the trainers, but stay out of the training room, if at all possible. Grab a bag of ice and go sit by your locker, but get off the stim machines, because that's where you find yourself on the transaction wire. So anyway, sometimes things just fire things up in my head. All right, let's talk a little bit about the game last week, and I'll come right back to you, Arch. Give us your initial reaction, your quick thoughts on what you saw in the Falcons-Broncos game.
I just think that I love the way there's a transition of philosophy defensively, and it's really been noticeable in the last 4 weeks. You're 3-1 over those 4 weeks. You could argue you should be 4-0 during those 4 weeks. Defense is played at a high level, and that's what immediately jumps out at me. You limited Denver's ability to get off the schneid on third down in the first half. You limited their run game. You pressured their quarterback. There seems to be a number of unscouted looks that teams are trying to sort out where people are coming from, and you're playing up tight and bump and run. And by the way, that philosophy, as we begin to look forward to who we're playing next, is going to be perfect when you start getting ready to talk about playing against New Orleans.
Yeah, physical style of play, up in your face. I like all that. Dave, DJ, what stuck out to you? Anything similar, or did you see anything differently as far as how the Falcons were able to pull out that victory?
You know, I think Arch made some good points on the team aspect of it, and it's spot on what this team had looked like over the past 4 weeks. I'm going to take it to a more player standpoint. And even if you're not a Falcons fan, even if you watch this team on a weekly basis or you've locked in on this team, one guy who continually flashes for me on film and when I watch him, Foye Oluokun, every single week, he seems to be a guy that's always around the football. He's making a play. I mean, this past week, 10 tackles, 4 QB hits, a sack, a TFL. I mean, he is stacking up the freaking stat sheet every single week. So when I look at Foye, I'm like, good googly moogly. This dude is balling every single week. And his production is continuing to rise. And it's fun to watch him every single week. I'm just glad I'm not on the other end of some of the hits, some of the things that he's doing on the defensive side of the ball.
Sorry, guys. I'm on my phone trying to figure out what googly moogly means.
Have you ever heard that before? It's a University of Georgia comment. They use those type of things at Georgia all the time.
That's
why you lost to Florida. You got to come with a better statement.
Googly moogly has nothing to do with that. Arch, don't start that.
I always love because Arch has got something good coming when he gets close to the microphone. That means he's really thought of it, and you need to listen up to what's coming next.
When he's further away, you can't hear, right? When he gets closer, that's when you hear
it. Voice.
So I'm going to keep working on figuring out what googly moogly is here in a second.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe the googly moogly is the fast start that the Falcons got off to. That was the thing that I like to see in that game is getting off to a fast start, starting out in front and playing with a lead. Because as you know, in the NFL, and we're going to talk about the Saints-Buccaneers game a little bit, talking about starting out in front. What happens is you make a team one-dimensional. Now they're playing catch-up. Now they get more predictable when you're on defense. And it goes back to what Arch was talking about, is that defense was able to play with that attack mindset because Atlanta got out in front and because Denver was forced to throw the football with Drew Lock, a guy that doesn't have a ton of NFL experience yet. So those defensive players can pin their ears back. They can get after the quarterback, and the defensive backs knows that the ball is going to be in the air, results in some plays like we saw with Ricardo Allen getting the interception. So I like the fact to see Matt Ryan in that offense getting off to such a fast start, building up that 20-3 lead at halftime and basically saying, okay, we know you got to play catch up. Now we know what you're going to do. Now you have to execute. And Denver was able to put a couple scores up on the board, but it ended up being a little bit too late. So with that, and Dave, you already talked about the fact that the Falcons maybe should be 4-0 in their last four games, a 1-point loss to the Lions. Now, if I remember correctly, we were talking about this start where the Falcons couldn't win a game, their head coach got fired, and we were nowhere near a playoff conversation. But DJ, can we actually start talking about the tangible nature? Can we reach out and maybe touch playoffs for the Atlanta Falcons? Is it there yet or not quite?
No. The fact that this is even a topic, the fact that we even have an opportunity to say, is it possible, means there is a possibility. And obviously there's things that has to go your way and losing to Detroit and the Bears and the NFC, that makes it a little bit harder. But the great point is you have division games in front of you. You got four big division games in front of you that can give you a lot of leverage in heading into this latter part of the season. And what gives me hope is the way the offense has played throughout the year, you're scoring points. That's not the issue. Defensively, you have taken an uptick in your play. And if you want to make it to the playoffs, if you're going to win these division games versus who we talked about earlier in these Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Tampa and New Orleans, your defense has to be better. And the defense has shown they have the ability to play at a higher level. So it's absolutely in the realm if you continue to play at the level you're playing, because think about what happened last season. Nobody expected you to go to New Orleans and get a win. Nobody expected you to go to San Fran and get a win. And you go out there and play good football. And those were teams that weren't just sitting back saying, okay, we're holding on to our playoff spot. They were still fighting for a position in the playoff ring. So there's absolutely great talk about possibly going to the next level, which is playing in January.
Yes, and and you make a great point, DJ. I mean, the next 3 weeks, you got two games against the Saints sandwiched around a game against the Las Vegas Raiders. That's obviously going to tell us whether or not the Falcons have elevated their play arch to get into that playoff conversation. But with the NFL expanding it to 7 teams per conference, and there's a proposal on the table to potentially expand it to 8 teams per conference, which means 16 teams get in the playoffs. And if that ends up happening, we'll still see if that ends up getting approved. There would be, it would be seeded based off a winning percentage arch and not just division winners. And then that whole, what is it, 3-5-1, 3-6-1 Philadelphia Eagles hosting a playoff game as it stands right now in the NFC East. Makes it even a little bit more attainable if that stuff were to happen for Atlanta, Arch.
So you're saying there's a chance that came from Dumb and Dumber, and I guarantee the fans that are watching this are calling you Dumb, DJ Dumber, and me Dumbest. They call me Dumbest. So, but no, when you look at it and break it down the way you two guys just broke it down, is you get to play the teams that are in front of you. You get New Orleans twice, you get Tampa twice. The way you're playing defensively is the perfect prescription, if you will, to get after them on offense. Brady doesn't like to be pressured. You saw New Orleans do it to him this weekend. Breeze, you got to hug his receivers. He wants to throw the ball short. You pressure him up the middle. So you actually are playing the kind of defense that I've been talking about for years, is that's the way you've got to beat Breeze. And I think it's the same way you beat Brady. So, and you get those teams 4 times plus the 3 AFC teams. So if you do find your way back into the mix, guys, and we got to go one day at a time, the whole cliche scenario. But if you find your way back in, this is going to be a team that's clicking at a pretty high clip, because you'll have won probably at least 6 of these next games, maybe all 7, who knows, to get yourself in that position. If a team like Atlanta does that, I'm not sure I want any piece of them if you do get into the playoffs at that point, because you'll be red hot get into the playoffs.
And it's great because the schedule, as we talked about, stacks up to where if the Falcons are thinking about the postseason, which, as you mentioned, is right, Dave, you got to take it one game at a time, because if they start thinking playoffs before they think about going on the road against the Saints, they're going to end up with a result much like what happened to the Tampa Bay Bucs.
I can guarantee you, Rack, you and I and DJ are the only ones talking about playoffs right now. I can assure you of that.
That's great. That's great. So these podcasts are for. Yeah. And you know, we'll kind of switch to the next topic, because I feel like it kind of leads us into that, is the Saints and Buccaneers game. I just mentioned the fact that if you start looking ahead to playoffs, you could end up getting blown out in the NFL really quickly, which is exactly what happened to the Buccaneers on Sunday night. And guys, I actually called that game on national radio, and I was so pumped to be in that stadium calling that game. You had two quarterbacks that are surefire first ballot Hall of Famers when they hang it up. NFC ramifications, NFC South ramifications. And what happened? Wow. The Bucs laid an egg. I mean, I'm talking about a big time egg. And I'm going to give some credit to New Orleans and the game plan, Dave, because you kind of talked about this a little bit in that matchup spinning forward. But can you make any sense out of what happened to the Bucs against the Saints? Saints go on the road and they absolutely blow out Tom Brady and the home team Buccaneers in their own stadium.
Well, its scenario was get off to a fast start, like you talked about. What I talked about was pressure the quarterback and hug up on the receivers, take the quick, easy throws away, be able to manage the run game with your front 6 or 7. They did all of those type of things. And cash in your opportunities, right? If you get a short field opportunity, make it a touchdown. And if there's anything the Falcons can improve on or take it as an example of the way New Orleans played this weekend, is they've got to be better in the red zone. If they do that, games like this weekend are going to be 3 touchdown wins. Games, we're going to win games that way, because this is a talented enough team. But it just goes to show you, fellas, and you and I, we've all talked about it. It's hard to win games in this league. And if you don't bring at least some semblance of your pretty good game, you're going to lose. If you bring something like Tampa brought to the table, you're going to get blown off the field. Those two quarterbacks have thrown a lot. What, they've thrown 1,100 touchdowns combined? You give Breeze that many opportunities, going to light you up.
Yeah, so DJ, it was such a big game because each team was getting their receivers back. Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas came back for the Saints. Antonio Brown made his debut this year. They got Chris Godwin back. But to the Saints' perspective, and kind of flipping this to the Falcons a little bit, there was 12 different skill position players that caught a pass from Drew Brees in that game. And so if you're turning on the tape and you're trying to think about a game plan, yeah, obviously you're going to try to slow down Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield. Michael Thomas, one of the best wide receivers in the league. But how do you go and put the game plan together when Drew Brees is throwing it to 12 different players on offense?
That's tough. I mean, that's stuff that you talk about. I remember a few years back when Matt was doing that week in and week out. You saw 9-10 guys catching the pass every single week. And it's tough when you have a quarterback that's willing to distribute the football like that. It's tough when you have guys who maybe you haven't heard of, they're playing, they're taking their game to a new level because they know at any given moment the ball could come to me. And this was an offense on that given night that was just clicking. And each guy that had his opportunity was winning its one-on-one matchups because we know Tampa is a team that wants to be physical. They want to get up in your face. And I thought they did a good job of also putting those guys in situations to win. We see all the time where they may put Kamara out in motion and he's one-on-one versus a linebacker or a safety. They did a lot of that with a lot of different players who found a matchup against Tampa, and it wasn't, I think, valuable for them. So give Brees and give Peyton a lot of credit for creating those opportunities for those guys. And it's going to be tough when you got that many players who can make plays for you and you can't key in on the key players, which are Sanders and Thomas and Kamara.
Yeah, so you always talk so much about offense, and you know, I want to give a little credit to Dennis Allen. Remember, Dennis Allen's a defensive coordinator for the Saints. Dennis Allen was a defensive assistant when I was playing for him back in the early 2000s, and then obviously his career just kind of skyrocketed, got an opportunity to be a head coach, and is really respected around the league as a good defensive mind. They had a really good defensive game plan for Tom Brady and the Bucs offensively. But let's kind of spin that forward, fellas, because I talked about this off the top, but I think this is going to be a really good discussion here. Because yes, in the NFC South, probably the best three quarterbacks in one division throughout the entire NFL. But let's talk a little bit about how Matt Ryan stacks up in that conversation, because Drew Brees basically is 1, 2, 3 in NFL all time and most of the important passing categories. Tom Brady has the ultimate top in the Super Bowl victories. But if you look in 2020, the quarterback that's actually given him a run for their money statistically, when you look at completion percentage and passing yards, is Matt Ryan. So how do you guys look at this situation in this conference? Do you take it as a just what's happening in 2020? Do you take it in overall, or do you look at legacy wise on what these guys are going to be remembered for? DJ, let me start with you. When their careers are all said and done,
I think it's all about what you've done over career. And a lot of people want to talk to what's happening right now. But when you look at all three of these guys, they've done it for a very, very long time. And for me, when I think about Brady, towards the latter part of his career, it's been about the guys that have been around him and the lack thereof. And for Matt Ryan, you look at it, this season, he's had Julio out at times. He's had Calvin out at times. And then you look at the past game, you got Brandon Powell who scored the touchdown. You got Olamide who scores the touchdown. And Arch, I think I heard you talking about it. His average is like 70-some yards per catch now on touchdowns. But it just speaks to the trust. It speaks to, regardless of who's around this guy continues to put up numbers year after year. And everybody knows Julio's the guy. He's going to get his catches and all that. But I think Matt is right there with those guys. Now, obviously, the big thing is Super Bowls, is winning championships, all that kind of stuff matters, absolutely. But I think this guy each year has given your team a chance to play in the playoffs. He's given your team a chance to be very competitive. And I think one stack that stacks up is this guy has 44 three-plus touchdown games, which is 10th most in NFL history. I mean, Matt has a bunch of these different records that people I don't think really know about, but that tells you the consistency that he plays with week in and week out. And he has elevated the play of anybody who's been on the field with him for the past 13 seasons. So, yeah, those guys are great. Those guys are good. But I absolutely can guarantee you when they play the Falcons, they know they have to score points because of the guy who's on the other side, just as everybody looks at those guys the same way.
And there's no getting around the fact, Arch, that Matt Ryan's not necessarily been in the conversation to start this season because of the way that the team's year started for Atlanta. But couldn't you make the argument, Arch, that Matt Ryan has done more this season with less? And DJ talked about the fact that Julio's been in and out of the lineup. Ridley's been in and out of the lineup. He's got Zacchaeus that he's throwing to. And all these other guys that maybe are more role players, the Russell Gages of the world, but yet he's still got more passing yards than those other two quarterbacks in the same division.
no disrespect to the other two guys' careers, because they're first ballot walk-in Hall of Fame. You could make them a Hall of Famer as soon as they retire. You don't have to wait 5 years to put Brady and Breeze in. It's about this year. It's not about last year or what Super Bowl you got hanging on the shelf or whatever. It's about right now. Who's playing hotter right now? Matt Ryan is playing as hot as any quarterback in the league. Breeze finally kind of got it going this weekend. Think about their season. They've been up and down. They've won a couple of overtime games. They've had games where they've been down, been able to find a way to win. This has been a year where Matt Ryan, as you guys have talked about, an assortment of receivers. Got a tight end he doesn't really know. Didn't have any offseason. All of a sudden, we're seeing the tight end start to blossom before our eyes, and Hayden Hurst making grabs. He's caught, like, what, 13, 15, 18 balls over the last 3 weeks of the season. Ryan is making things happen, and if the defense can play at the level they've played at the last 3 or 4 weeks, this is a team that can make a serious push, because as Shock said, when you come to the ballpark and number two's at quarterback, I don't care who the other quarterback is, he realizes we've got to put some points on the board, because that group over there with Jones and Ridley and all those guys, they're going to score some points. We better get it done. But I think it's about right now, and Matt Ryan's playing as good as anybody in the league. He leads the league in yards, and he's lighting it up each and every week, not making the stupid mistakes. So I would hang my hat on number two every time, and certainly this year, the way he's playing.
Well, I think it'd be a great matchup offensively for Matt Ryan and company, too. If he's got his full complement of receivers going against New Orleans, if he's got Ridley, if he's got Julio, if he's got those tight ends like Arch said are starting to blossom. Now, I really like Hayden Hurst, man. That guy, he's not only got some really soft hand, but he plays with a physicality, and his ability to run with the ball after the catch is really impressive to me. I like what the upside is for him. But if they can get that full complement together, they could give the Saints a run for their money. They've done it previously. DJ already talked about it. I think the one thing that maybe they miss, guys, is that Drew Brees has is that just that threat out of the backfield in Kamara. I mean, Kamara can take anything the distance.
We got coming out of the backfield.
They're so creative.
We have his kryptonite. He's number 45.
There it is.
And I don't want to jinx Debo, but Kamara's done nothing against this team because of Deion Jones and what he can do as a cover linebacker scenario. So Peyton better get the laboratory coat on and weave some way to get number 41 open, because number 45 is going to be tracking him the entire game.
And that's interesting, well, because when you watch the Tampa game, Devin White was trying to be that guy, and it couldn't happen. It wasn't happening. So that's a good point.
The athletic linebackers definitely is probably your best choice or your best chance to be able to slow him down. So let's talk about that a little bit before we go, guys. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but DJ, I want to start with you. Give us like your number one, number two, really early key for the Falcons to be able to go on the road and beat the Saints.
I think there's two things when I think about this ball game. And one is...
No, he said one. He said you got to give him one. Not two, one.
But I'm talking.
One, let's go one.
If I'm talking, I can give two. You going to cut my mic off? What you going to do?
Careful. Arch got close to the mic again.
He got close. All right, fine. No, I'm still going to give two. One is we got to score touchdowns. This is a game where we know. Okay. We talked about when you play against these two type of quarterbacks and these type of offenses, field goals will hurt you. Now, points are always good, but touchdowns. Arch mentioned it earlier about the Falcons could be better in the red zone. I believe in this ball game, scoring touchdowns, as we saw in the last game with Tampa and the Saints, when they scored a touchdown, they put a lot of pressure on Tampa to try to get down and score points as well. So scoring touchdowns is a big one for me. And the last one is, even though we talked about it, he can still hurt you. Find out where Kamara is, know where he's lined up, and make sure you have a plan for him coming to this ballgame, as I know you always will. But those are two big keys. You can't allow them to do that. Even though you ask for one, you got two. Now I'm sitting back.
Hopefully Deion Jones gets a couple extra sessions in that hyperbaric
drop right there
as he goes back. Yeah, he did drop the mic on us, Arch. What do you got for me? Give me your one, or if you want to go with two.
No. I'm going to follow the instructions. I'm very coachable. I'm going to go one, because Shock wants to cover all the bases because he's a smart guy and he knows everything, right? I'm going to say continue to play the way you're playing defensively. Come up with some of those designer blitzes to get after the quarterback and hug up. Breeze is kryptonite, and I use the word twice. Once for Kamara, this is for Breeze. Interior pressure. That means Big Grady. That means John Kaminsky, pressure through the middle, force the smaller quarterback to have to throw out of the phone booth and take away his quick, easy throws. No quick throws to the outside. He does not want to throw the ball down the field. That means Kamara as well. So play the way you're playing right now. That's why I said at the beginning of the show that we're playing defensively exactly the way you need to play to beat Drew Brees and the Saints.
Yeah, and I would piggyback on that, because one of my keys to the game was is for Saints when they played the Bucs on Sunday night, as I said, that I would like to see Brees throw the football down the field more, but he's not doing it. It's all short to mid-range game. It's almost like the other team knows they're going to do it, but you've got to be able to stop it. So I'm going to piggyback on you, and I'm going to give you one key, because I like to say start fast offensively, but I think this has to be the game, Arch, where they start fast defensively. You have got to get off the field early and get that confidence against this Saints offense, because I saw it on Sunday night. If you don't, you're going to look up at the scoreboard in the first quarter and it's going to be 14-0. But your defense has got to come to play, and they have to have something dialed up on third down and potentially even fourth down as well. The money downs, you've got to find a way to get off of the field. Because if your defense sits out there and they're running sideline to sideline while Drew Brees is throwing these short passes and you're chasing these guys all around the field, your defense is going to be exhausted, and that's going to take its toll as you get in the third and fourth quarter. DJ, you look like you got something else you want to say. You're like sitting here like, I'm ready to jump back
how
in.
How could he? He
less is like more.
Four,
less
he
is
did
more.
Like five keys to the game. I mean, how could he have any more to say?
And he broke his microphone when he dropped it. So, hey, fellas, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, because it's always good to talk to you guys, especially after a Falcons victory. I know you guys are cranky people, but you're in better moods when the Falcons win. So I enjoy seeing that. I like seeing the smiles, and the Arch with the top hat on is looking good today.
Oh, man.
It's always
all right, fellas. Appreciate it. Let's do this again, and hopefully we're doing this after a win. Of course, Falcons on the bye this week. They're 3-6 right now. And, yes, we did have a playoff conversations about the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to get some rest this week. And one thing I wanted to leave you with, I watched Raheem Morris's press conference after the game, and there's a lot of people that won't get this one. But somebody asked him about the defense and why they're playing better and what are you guys doing as a team, and he just said, we different. Yeah, we different.
Little 2 Chainz.
Okay,
2 Chainz.
Hey, you got that 2 Chainz? Or you
got to give him credit,
there?
Though. At least he stayed local. At least he didn't go West Coast on
us.
He stayed
right.
local, right? He stayed
that's
Atlanta.
That's right. Stayed
been
in the A.
South, man. He been in the South.
Stayed in the A.
2 Chainz.
All right, that's going to do it for us, fellas. I appreciate y'all joining us. DJ's going to he's got 2 Chainz changing his headset right now, so he's just going to dance it out on the way out. Arch, good to see you once again. That's going to wrap it up for us here on the Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T. We will see you next time. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone.
You're listening to Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T.